Really, bitch? A cabin in the woods?
Now let's get it all in perspective for all y'all enjoyment.
You still a slave to the white man?
Y'all gonna stop calling my wife the white man, all right?
Newness, here's the anthem. Put your hands up that you shoot with. Count your
but we
with.
Don't on Juneteenth.
Oh, hell no.
Where are you going?
Look for the fuse box.
What kind of house is this?
No, no thank you.
The blackening?
Whoa!
Jim Crow Monopoly.
Shit probably runs on racism.
Pick a card and save Morgan.
What do you mean save Morgan?
Refuse to play, and she dies.
I think we have to play the game.
In your predicament, the black character is always the first to die. I will spare your lives if you sacrifice the person you deem the blackest.
The blackest?
Nobody should judge anybody in here, bruh.
You have 2 minutes to decide.
Shanika, she say nigga the most.
Nigga.
See?
Wait.
Y'all can't pick me. I'm gay.
Oh, Clifton.
Yeah.
That can prove I'm not the blackest.
Prove it.
I've never seen Friday.
The
I voted for Trump.
What?
What?
Twice.
You
money, playboy, your time's up.
We need a plan.
Don't say it. Don't you dare.
We
don't say this, don't you?
We have to split up.
Oh. Your time has run out. It's time to die.
There's a crazy person out here hunting us. You got Rosa Parks on your shirt, right? Would she be sitting down right now?
I mean, that's exactly what she did.
You could shut up!
Made you look.
What? Black women gotta save everyone on the damn time!
Oh, made you look.
Yo, stop playing.
I got a gun!
Damn.
Hey,
that's too DMX. What are you doing?
All right, so welcome to the June edition of the Bad Mean and Good, Bad Mean and Bad podcast. I'm Rich Fan. Joining me today are two delightful folks who are going to help me decipher whether The Blackening was a good movie or not. And so up first, the curator of the Ratchet Book Club, Derek, welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. I'm probably gonna break some hearts with this discussion.
Oh, uh-oh. Come on.
Oh no. Oh
no.
No. Oh no.
No.
And then the other voice you hear is my man Brandon. Brandon, I feel like you're already prepared to defend whatever hill Derek's about to try to die on, so.
Now, we'll probably agree. I'll probably just think what he says is right, but I liked it because of that. That's usually what happens.
Okay.
We usually have similar points, but I just like it, and he'll not like it for that same exact reason.
So, first of all, before we get started with the actual movie, I want to talk about, like, who made it. So, what were your thoughts on Jay Farrow? What were your thoughts on the kind of like the cast and crew? So for those of you who haven't seen it yet, it's written by Tracy Oliver and Dwayne Perkins, and Tim Story's the director. For those of you who don't know Tim, he's done a couple of things. He's done fantastic. And Barbershop, he directed that, the OG Barbershop. Mm-hmm. So Tim's been around. He's been around for a minute.
Yeah, Tim Story's done a lot of things. Well, you know, Jay Farrow and Yvonne Orji, I forget how to say her last name, but Molly from Insecure, they were like red herrings. They were in the movie for like 6 seconds and they were out. They even made a joke about it. that they don't have the budget to keep them in the movie. they were talking about some other movie and some big actor died in the first scene. It was just like, we don't have the budget. They didn't have the budget to keep them, so that's why they had to die. And then immediately they're gone. The two biggest names are gone. So, yeah, I thought that was a little bit of a red herring. But, you know, I mean, Tim, I mean, he's had some ups and downs for some movies, like as a director. So like, but I thought this was ambitious. I thought this was an ambitious film to like circle, I mean, center the film around mostly people that regular people don't know. Like you just, yeah. You know, you ain't going to know who they were and tell this story with all black cast except a couple bad people that aren't black. And so actually one bad person probably because it was a twin. So I'm imagining it was the same actor that played them. So like one white person in the whole movie. So it's kind of ambitious, but I appreciated that.
And Derek, what'd you think? Any thoughts on Tim's story in general, the cast in particular?
I think the cast was great. I think that usually I have somebody I can blame for the faults in this movie. Usually. But I can't blame anybody. This felt like, I don't know if they wanted it to be serious. Like I thought it was going to be a comedy, like more of a comedy. And it felt like a comedy slash horror, kind of like Child's Play did when it went down that campy lane. And I didn't know how much of it they wanted to be serious and how much of it they wanted to be like funny. Because some things were so over the top that it just took me out of the whole story. So I think that's Tim's fault. No, I don't. I think that's the actor's fault for the way that they perceived what Tim wrote. So I think Tim's story was good. The jokes, when they landed well. But there were things, and I know I'm going to discuss at least one of them, that literally were just like, why the fuck does this keep happening? Like, why'd they do this? And also, I feel like the film dragged on too long. Like, really? I feel like they ran out of things to do around the time that they decided that they should all split up. And the black girls were like, oh, no, we never split up. And then they split up and it became a rote by the book type horror film where they found the clues and then they came back and found the big surprise. Half of it was a comedy. The other half of it was literally a C to D list horror film.
I think to your point, it's 97 minutes. If this was the 80s or early 90s and they were doing something like this, it probably would have been 86 to 89 minutes, sub 90. And a lot of the stuff they had to figure out, like for instance, are you going to be a Saw remake? Are you going to be something tied in? Are you going to be Scary Movie?
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of jumped around to all these different areas as we get through. Brandon, did you have anything to kind of rebut or throw in based on what Derek just said? Or
no, I agree with most of that. I thought they could have cut out that whole. If you're gonna kill Jay Farrell and Molly in the first 5-7 minutes of the movie, just cut that entire section out. Like it didn't really it would have been one thing if like they didn't redo introducing the blackening and seeing like the blackface like game board again. Like, mm-hmm. So they were using that to like introduce that so that you know about that. But they redid like that whole thing, like literally word for word when the whole group got there.
That whole shit scene was
worthless.
That shit was so disjointed. That first scene was so disjointed from the rest of it. I swore that shit happened like 10 years earlier. And nobody had been to the cabin since then. I really did. I didn't know that they were in any way connected with these two. I just thought that these folks were going to another reunion in the same house and oh my God, it's about to happen again. But no, all this shit happened like the same weekend and that was my first issue. I was like, Jay Farrell didn't really act like he knew them niggas. And
yeah.
Molly acted like she was just there for a paycheck. There was no cohesion in those two opening scenes. And Brandon's right. That first scene could have been chopped out. This could have been we've seen a 64-minute horror movie before. We saw a movie called Dead Heist that was like 65 minutes.
Oh, come on.
Wait. I'm not going to say anything that's going to glorify that movie or anything. I'm simply going to say that in that movie, all the action literally happened in the last 4 minutes in the movie. Am I right, Brandon?
Yes, that's true.
But everything happened in the last 4 minutes. This is better than that, but this didn't have to be 97 minutes. It could have been, like you said, 82 to 84 minutes long, and they would have got everything they needed to get done, because the jokes were really within the... Really, their jokes were black card revoked questions.
Right.
I enjoyed the jokes because
it felt very
black. Like, a lot of times you have black people in the movie and it's just like they're trying to be black. This felt very naturally black.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like things that were very naturally things that black people would say or do.
Very naturally black. Can I ask y'all a question real quick?
Yeah, shoot.
The guy who ended up somehow being the villain, and he did something that was like, why the fuck does that have any bearing on this anyway? And nobody knew who he was and all that. Why the fuck did they have him make that face the whole time and talk like that and be like that? Like, that was the most annoying fucking thing in the whole fucking movie, was his goddamn voice. Because I know that guy. I've seen him in other movies.
I'm about to say, I know that guy in real life.
Right?
So that's why I was dying, because I knew horny niggas who acted like that in college, like that talked like that, that acted like that.
Did they make the face like that?
In a way, like not as exaggerated as that, but it was exaggerated because it was a movie. But like that had that kind of corny look, and would it would not that they would kill people like that, but like they would absolutely try to get revenge because people were mean to them at a party. 100%. I knew some people like that when I was in college. So I related to that part.
I got sucked in because last month we did Blank Man.
Yes.
And I felt like this was that character in a horror setting.
I can see that.
I didn't even think about that.
I can definitely see that.
I'm sitting in the theater, and just to kind of set the tone, because that's the other thing I want to talk about after we get to, like, I'm sitting in the theater. There's like, in a 40-person theater, there's 12 of us. It's like 12 angry men. So it's like me, four white folk immediately to my right, three black dudes that come in like 20 minutes into the movie, and an old white couple that get up and leave within 6 minutes of the movie starting. They were verklempt. Like, they were completely, like, when the, no, like, they were gone. They were just like, the white folks that were next to me were cackling their heads off as they saw this uncomfortable couple get up and flustered, just depart, post-haste.
I gotta admit, maybe part of the reason why I love this movie so much was because I was in a full theater, sold out, every seat. It was
full of black people.
All black people with like two white couples. That's it. So four white people total, but white people that got it. Like they weren't laughing at the inappropriate times. They got the jokes. So it was two white couples that got the jokes and an all black theater who was doing stereotypical black shit. Like you would like pointing at the screen, laughing, calling out shit that was about to happen. It felt so communal. That like I really enjoyed, like, because everyone was in on it. It was like one of those things where it's like when you go see an Avengers movie and it's nothing but comic book fans, and so the little things that happen, they get, and they're like, oh, like they're getting it. Like they're not getting excited when like it's a big fight. They get excited when like when Howard the Duck shows up, right? And they're like, oh, it's Howard the Duck. Like I get it. Like it was like that type of thing, but with black people. So I think that definitely influenced how much I like this movie.
I was about to say, bro, that's the same way that people will come up to you and will come up to Rich and will come up to I and say, dude, you gotta see Rocky Horror Picture Show. You gotta see it. You gotta see the fucking Rocky Horror Picture Show. So you go home and you watch it on TV because it shows every fucking Halloween and you're like, this is the dumbest fucking shit I ever saw in my life. And you go back and you tell them, this is the dumbest fucking shit I ever saw in my life. And they look at you with a straight face, like you should have known, and said, did you see it in the theater? It's different in the theater because it's all these people who are talking to the screen and they're throwing things and people are acting and all that kind of stuff. Take all that away, Brandon.
It was still funny.
Honestly, it was funny. It was funny, but take all that away and really think about this shit.
Yeah, people were acting like that, though, because they were into the movie.
Yes, right? So but I'm saying take all the people away. Say you're watching this at home with Brandy on Vudu, and it's just the two of you.
Yeah, it would still be funny.
In a percentage scale, what percent of the jokes would you say landed perfectly? Be real. I had it at a good 70%.
Yeah,
I'd probably say about 75-80% of the jokes landed.
That's the thing. Like that's
good for a movie.
What it probably is. And I'm not saying it's like I didn't like the movie. I'm already looking forward to, because Regal has a thing where if you see this and two other movies, you get all three of them free on digital. I'm looking forward to owning it. Yeah. It's this and then a movie called Have You Met My Father, which I didn't even see. I just fucking bought the ticket for 50 cents and then didn't go. And then Joyride when it comes out. But it's like, here's my big thing. When I watch movies like this, straight comedies like this, black comedies, my question is, and it's not on no Christian shit, it's not on she some old folk shit, would I show this to my mama?
I don't think
somebody who's not in our age group but is black, I don't think this movie's for them.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, that's true, but like that's the same thing with anything. Like if they're that's like anything cultural is going to be a lot of times divided by age. So like this movie, so like my mom, I think my mom would laugh at some of the stuff in the movie, but some of the things she just would not have an understanding of the reference to. But that's, to me, that's just like anything. Just like I brought up a comic book movie. Marvel is great because they make movies that everyone can enjoy, right? But sometimes, but one of the things is you can get a problem in comic book movies is if you get too inside and people don't understand it, right? And so then you get this problem with like this barrier to entry, which is, I think, what you're explaining, Rasani. It's like a barrier to entry for anybody older than 50, probably. If you weren't young in the 90s or above, a lot of the stuff in this movie you're not going to get. Like if you were in your 20s in the 80s or 70s, you're not going to get some things in this film. But it also, there was nobody in the cast that was probably older than 35. So like I don't think it was designed for those people. So I'm not going to use that as a negative, because it wasn't. It's just like if I said, you know, if I took all my white friends to this movie, they're not going to get it. Well,
you wouldn't take all your white friends.
I wouldn't take all my white friends to the movie, and they wouldn't get it.
This is going to be rough. Yeah.
But it wasn't designed for all my white friends.
But yeah. I feel like this movie ran out. Like I said, that's what I'm going to keep going back to. I feel like they ran out of ideas after that point where they were all at the table playing the board games and everybody was getting asked questions. I feel like that was a part that was in the commercial. That was a part they built upon. The whole trailer was really them talking about who was the blackest. And after that, it just became a set. We're going to run from this monster horror film, which is fine. But that's not what I'm looking for in this film. I'm not looking for you to go back to the tropes and literally act like these people. Right. I'm looking for you to do something differently for me, because that's what you tout this as. Your motto was literally, everybody can't die in this movie.
Yeah.
But show me something different.
This was Saw, basically. This could have been a very black Saw. Like, even down to the fact that the game master is in the game and got shot. Like, I thought he was going to wait until the end and be like, do the dun-dun-dun, like, get up, and they're like, oh, my God, he's still alive.
Oh, my God, he's a nigga. Oh, no, they did do that. Rich, you don't remember at the end of the movie, they had homie laughing at the bottom of the well?
Oh, I didn't see. Maybe it was my theater again.
So, yeah, they zoomed.
Came on, credits rolled, and it was it.
Before then, when they were leaving the house, they did the zoom like to the bottom of the well, and then you heard the corny dudes laugh. Like his corny laugh. Like you heard his laugh.
See, yeah, I didn't get that. The last thing I got was the hose. I got the hose at, while they were in between credits, like trying to.
Yeah, when they got shot with the fire hose.
But I was going to say, Rashani, they did do it differently because no one died. Like the whole, like I took this as the whole idea is that if black people were in a horror circumstance,
Jay Farrell died immediately. Then that killed the whole thing. Well, really, he died.
Yeah, they died before. I'm talking about the main group.
What I'm saying is they're trying to flip this on his head, but he dies, and Molly essentially gets fridged as a reason for them to continue to play the game.
Mm.
Yes, but nobody in the main group died, and I think the story they were trying to say is if black people were in this situation, no one would die because they wouldn't do the stupid shit that white people do.
But they did the stupid shit. They split up.
But they did it in a different way, though, right?
No, they didn't. Like, they literally, three people here. Some of us going to have to stay in the house. Some of us going to have to go run in the woods. So that's both horror tropes, the scary house and the scary woods. House. They just covered all the bases.
The most creative thing I thought they did was the usage of the bow and arrow for the killer, and then the physical comedy of removing the arrow and then constantly getting re-injured with it. Yeah. Like that was, yes. I cackled really when she stabbed herself in the chest.
Oh yeah, when she pulled it out. Yeah. I thought that was great. And then taking Adderall instead of painkillers.
Yeah, and then it was like the zoom in, and then ex-Mayo, who played Shanika, she was the perfect amount of too much, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like she's going out there swimming and then all of a sudden, no, you can't be shooting at me while I'm swimming. And like, she had really good reactions. And then I think to Rashani's point, like there's some folks like Lisa was useless.
Mm-hmm.
Which and one was Lisa? Lisa was the one that was sleeping.
Exactly.
With the homie.
Exactly.
Lisa was the one sleeping with the homie, right? The one that the gay dude was mad about?
That was okay. Yes.
Because she was useless to the end.
Yes, because they do the eye thing in the car. And so you're already telling me this is supposed to be your best friend and you're betraying him for a dude that cheated on you multiple times. Like, I already knew what time it was when they were like, when they did the eye thing. It's like, you didn't tell him? And then I enjoyed the turnaround where the guys did it. Mm-hmm. And my man was on the same wavelength.
You talking to me?
Did he hear the whole thing?
I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
Because that was a very black thing, though. Like, that was a very black thing. No, I thought the one thing, like, to Rashani's point earlier about, like, older black people seeing this. I wonder, this is the one thing I think maybe all black people would see, because this happened in, like, blaxploitation movies as well. The funniest part of the movie to me was when homie picked up the gun, and he was holding the gun sideways. Sideways, and he was missing. And then they turned it the right way before he can shoot, and then he aimed it. I thought that was one of the funniest things I've seen, because that's how people actually think you shoot guns. Like, who've never shot a gun. They literally think you hold it sideways and shoot like that, and you're never going to hit someone.
No. It's deeper than that, Brandon. It's not everybody thinks that. It's everybody who watched Menace to Society and everybody who watched Boys in the Hood, black people who have never been in a situation where they got to hold a gun. We going to hold it this way because that's how we see all the black people in black movies do this shit.
Yes, that's why I thought all black people would get that, because they did that in blaxploitation movies. They were holding a gun like that all the way up through the movies you're talking about. And so I thought any black person would watch that and be like, yo, it was so subtle too. Cause they didn't, they just went away from it, but I died. I was in tears watching that part.
But the nigga who was the villain came back and was the one who tipped the gun in the right direction, like this. Right. I honestly feel like this movie could have been more. And I think that's the thing. I think that I watched it and I laughed, and I had moments where I sat there and I didn't laugh. And while I wasn't laughing, I was thinking, past the jokes, this is a pretty mediocre horror film. And you don't want to be a mediocre horror film, because when the jokes fall away, what's going to draw people into it is the story behind those jokes.
Did you think it was better than Scary Movie?
Part one?
Which one? Yes. Yeah.
No.
No, you thought Scary Movie was better than this.
But at the same time, the Wayans brothers at that point in time were at their comedic height as far as writing. So I thought that was like off the hook hilarious to me. But this was better than all the movies that came after Scary Movie 1. Let's put it like that.
Okay.
And here's to Rashani's point. Here's a good thing I can throw out for you real quick. Most of this movie was improv.
I can see that.
So that might lend to what you're talking about in terms of the relative elasticity and lack of cohesion of it. Because they basically what happened was during this is one of those post-pandemic movies they got going. They had the script from 2018, 2019. They got the cast together. They had the skeleton. They're like, all right, y'all just improvise.
You could definitely see that, because that's what I was going to say as well. Some of these folks don't really have cohesion. I guess. Like, some of these folks act like they don't work well together, and they were just forced to work well together.
Like, you had a triangle of Lisa, Namdi, and Dwayne. They were all right together. Because they had the cheater, the best friend, and the girlfriend. They worked well. Everybody else kind of like went in and out. I liked Allison. I felt like she by herself tried to play off of everybody else. Yes. But to your point, not everyone could play off of her. And so sometimes the jokes about her fell flat because you needed her to kind of support it or play off it. And she was doing a lot of work in this movie.
I thought they didn't use Shanika enough. I thought Shanika was funny, and they didn't use her enough until the outside scenes. And even then, she was just swimming in the lake when all the shit was going down. But her jokes were funny. I thought he sold his character the best, meaning this dude that's married to a white woman that kind of feels, you know, some insecurity about that used to be a gangbanger, but now is like trying to change his life. Like, I thought he sold like that. He sold the character the best. I also got a kick out of all that sugar and the Kool-Aid, because I've actually been to a party where somebody tried to make that exact drink, and I would not drink it because, of course, it's going to mess you up. Like, what are you doing? So I thought that was kind of good. I thought, I think you were right about Lisa not. I mean, they made her being so angry at the end made sense a little bit, given the story about how mad she was. But for most of the movie, she was just kind of there so Dwayne can side eye. I thought Dwayne's side eyeing was good, though. I appreciated all the shade he was throwing, like the subtle shade he was throwing. I thought that was good. Do the young people really take Molly and all these other drugs? Like, is that a thing?
Yo.
Yeah.
Right.
That's wild.
I feel like that was below our age group.
So, Brandon, this group hasn't seen each other for 10 years. After
the
college.
The whole group. Some of them have seen each other.
But yeah, overall, 10 years since college was the last time they saw Namdi, some of them, which will make them like 33, 34, 32 in that range.
32, yep.
I can see them doing Molly like that.
Yeah, I guess I can. I mean, if you listen to the raps, that age group is out there doing that.
What I can't see is them doing the Molly and them being hit up by a horror trope, and that immediately knocks them sober. Molly's pretty fucking strong.
Yeah, there should have been, and that goes back again to the improv. And if you got that as a director thread throughout or something that's in the script, that's a lot easier for you to keep track of.
Because they Lisa higher on they had Lisa higher on Adderall than she was on the Molly.
Right, which should have been a conflicting interactivity.
Mm-hmm. I think Lisa and Dwayne are the only two who did Molly. I think Allison, I don't think she did Molly. I think she just did the Adderall, from what I remember. I think Lisa, because I remember Lisa gave Dwayne the Molly so he wouldn't be a downer after he found out her and Namdi were fucking. So I think those are the only two that did the Molly.
Right, she put it in his drink. And then I think Shanika also did something, because remember, she said she was already coming in on, she had taken it. Or get it out my bag. She was on something. I can't remember what she did in between running into the weird guy at the gas station and meeting them, because then that's when she was scaring him out, Dwayne outside the window.
What'd you think about Diedrich Bader being the good white man, the ally? What'd you think about that scene?
I love the fact where, just like every ally I know, he overstepped his boundaries and had to get checked.
I think, Rashani, the one thing I will say about this compared to Scary Movie is I think this will be, I think in 10 years, the commentary, the things that they talked about in this movie will still be relevant. Whereas, like, if I, or even in 15 years, like, I see like some of those things they were talking about to be more lasting time in terms of topics. Like, if I watch Scary Movie, it feels like such a dated movie, even though it's still funny. Like, the jokes feel dated. I feel like talking about Trump, talking about, you know.
But again, this was supposed to come out in 2022. So when was it actually created? So, yeah.
2018, 2019.
Yeah. That's something I have to keep in mind.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be over Black Republicans, Trumpism, how the gay community's treated, like those, like the jokes that they went to, I think are going to be a little bit less the testing of time, more than some of the jokes from the 2000s, the early 2000s. I do think that part is fair.
Now, what did you guys think about, because we already talked about the killer. We talked a little bit about the conceit of the game, but let's break down the game. One thing I liked from the game, like obviously the blackness test, but I enjoyed the I didn't watch Friends, but
exactly
having, yes, and having each of them give an answer that was perfect.
So for the listeners, the question was name a black person who guested on Friends, and each of them before naming a person successfully, including people I didn't even, all I knew about was Alicia Tyler. They named five people, and each of them were like, I don't watch Friends, but remember Black Vivian was on it?
Boss. Yeah.
Yeah, she was Chandler's boss. Yeah, yeah. And this person was Chandler's girlfriend. Yeah, yeah. And then the answer was what one nigga said, I don't watch that shit. I watch Living Single.
Yep.
That was supposed to be the answer.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? I was that person. So, like, when I was in the theater, I had never watched Friends. So, like, I don't know. I didn't know that answer. And my wife, Brandy, was sitting next to me. And she says, because everybody in the theater was trying to answer these questions in the theater I was in, right? So they were acting like they were playing the game. And so Brandy was like, oh, I know Aisha Tyler. That's all I know. Just like what you just said, Rashani. All I know is Aisha Tyler. And I was just like, my answer would have been, I don't know. I ain't never seen Friends, dog. I don't know that.
I love the fact that each of them finished off by saying, I ain't never seen it, though. They started off by saying, I ain't never seen it, then mentioned the black person and said, but I ain't never seen it, though.
Right. But I became the opposite. So I hadn't seen Friends. Pandemic comes. Working from home, TBS played the entire series over the time I was working from home exclusively. So I actually did watch it during that. So I was in the movies like, oh yeah, that's right. Her, bah, bah, bah.
That would have been me with Seinfeld.
Answer, I was like, dang it. Oh.
That would have been me with Seinfeld, because I could have named every black person that showed up on Seinfeld that had a significant part. I feel like Seinfeld doesn't have the stigma of being, maybe it does.
It does.
Seinfeld has the stigma of being only a white show?
It does.
It does? Okay.
Y'all black niggas just like it for some strange reason.
But you got a white man named Jerome. Bomani explained it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Rich, you know, you got to excuse Rashani. He's also anti-curb.
Just see, so you know. And that's what I was going to say. Ooh. Niggas like curb your enthusiasm. So ooh, all of a sudden they want to associate that back to Seinfeld. I don't give a fuck. I just think both of them were boring. I tried watching Seinfeld. I thought Friends was boring. I tried to watch Friends. It's not my cup of tea. That's all it is. But in regards to this movie,
yeah,
I felt like there were opportunities for storyline enhancement that didn't happen. Your main storyline is none of us know this nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Word, nobody knows this nigga at all. That's the whole storyline. Y'all don't know where you hung out with him at. Y'all don't know none of that shit, but y'all just gonna keep him at the cookout.
No. Nobody... Okay, I can explain that for you, Rashani. So it wasn't that none of them knew him. They all knew him. What they were saying is, why is he here? They kept like, who invited him? No mm-hmm. one invited, like they weren't cool with him. And we find out obviously that they all knew him, but they were rude as shit to him in like a previous party when they were hanging out. But
early in the movie, getting a DUI.
He ended up saying he got an in the beginning of the movie, he said, I got an Evite, right? And so you're led to believe, and this is where I do agree with you, Rashani, where they didn't expand on certain things. You're led to believe that he invited himself, right? So like mm-hmm. he found out about it. And somehow invited himself and showed up. And then no one's going to be like in public, who invited this nigga? Like no one wanted to be that terrible person. But when they were all talking to each other, they were just like, you know, I kind of remember him, but why is he here type of a thing.
And remember at one point he mentioned it. And again, that goes back to maybe that was written in and they didn't underscore it enough that people could refer back to it. Or maybe the actors just weren't to a level where they could have kind of brought it back. He said that the two people that were missing invited him, which already could be a red flag, because remember they were the hosts of the whole thing. And he was even like, you could look at my Evite, like pulling out his phone. And then he's like, oh yeah, it's charged. He's like, ain't nobody got no Android. And I was like, excuse me, ma'am,
right?
I got a multi-charger, like let's chill on the Android hit. And that was one of those things where I think, to Rashani's point, like there is a little bit of a generational gap in the writing to execution of this. And that's where some of it shows up, where people, you know, I think you're right, Brandon, where some of the themes are going to be, but no one's going to get the Android, like Apple, like this Apple dominance, allegedly, that they're throwing out this propaganda.
Older people aren't going to get it. Older people are going to get it, but younger people absolutely do. There's a whole blue message, green message thing where people mm-hmm. judge people with green messages, but it's much younger. It's mm-hmm. like people in their 20s and early 30s that's doing that. Not, you know, not even people our age, right? Well, y'all right. two are a little bit older than me, but not even people my age, definitely not people your age or older that's in that. But like the younger generation, it is a status type thing, you know, green bubble versus blue bubble.
I just feel like this movie, if you count the opportunities that it had to change the game, mm-hmm. as far as horror movies went, as far as comedy went, really, like, especially knowing now that the whole thing's improvised, they had an opportunity to really change the game. I feel like this movie could have done more. And knowing that it was all improvised doesn't make me feel better. It actually kind of pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this is our one time up at bat and you decide to fucking wing it.
That's. Yeah. Now,
when you had a chance, you could have drawn it. You could have drawn up a whole script. You have comedian writers there. You have funny people there. You chose to do a skeleton script. And then when it turns out that it's all improv, and when you look at now, I bet you when I go back and I watch it, I'll be like, that's why that joke didn't land. That was just some off the cuff type shit. It could have been better to me. I'm not mad at it. It's still like a B movie, but it's not a high B. And you're I have to wonder this... if I'm giving it a high B, if I'm giving it even a B, because it was supposed to be the Blackening. It was supposed to be the Black movie. It's not bad meaning bad, but it's not bad meaning good either. It's just a movie.
Yeah. My disappointment with Dwayne is, first of all, if you're going to make yourself eponymous, like that's like Tony Danza calling himself Tony in every TV show. Like,
mm-hmm.
Your name's Dwayne Perkins, and I'm going to be Dwayne. And Perkins wrote the short, and then they let him and Tracy Oliver wrote the script. But I feel like even that wasn't much if it was improvised. Like, what is the director doing if you have a group of people who, like, take what Rashani said before. You look at what happened with Scary Movie. You had the Wayans brothers as the spine of that movie, and they could react off of each other, and then from there have people that they hired that could react off of them, much like in Living Color. There is no one in here that is a spine, and no one in here that knows Dwayne Perkins well enough to be in concert with the director, the person that keeps this thing going. And so if this is the one shot, from a money standpoint, it was a $6 million budget, or $5 million budget, call it $9 million when you have the additional advertising and all that stuff. It made $12.3 million opening. And right now, I'm going to look up the box office just to kind of see where it's at.
So while he's looking up the box office, I'm going to say this real quick. Okay, so yeah. Jay Farrow and Yvonne Orji were the two big names. After that, yeah, Cinqua Walls was in it. I was like, I know that nigga from somewhere. I know that nigga from somewhere. I just can't think of it. The biggest name in this movie was the nigga who played the turd burglar in fucking American Vandal Part 2.
Oof.
The one who played Man Boy. Yeah, Man Boy in Snowfall. That's your big name. And he's not the best actor in the world. And I'm just trying to see the cohesion in this. I don't see any strong, like, I don't know. This feels like we have a show called Blood, Meth, and Tears. It's a Breaking Bad podcast. And in the last episode that we, well, in an episode that'll be coming out soon because we record in advance, I play Brandon some of my skits and music. Because back in the day, I used to write parody songs and I used to write skits for my shows. If I took one of my 5-minute skits and I stretched it into 97 minutes, that's not going to work for anybody. And what they had was a maybe 15 to 20 minute premise.
Yep.
That they turned into a 97 minute movie, which made for 82 minutes of why the fuck are we still here?
Yeah. This would have been a really funny Saturday Night Live extended sketch.
Yeah, it would have been a really great, what's it called? Funny or Die sketch.
Yes.
I thought the jokes were spread out enough to justify a movie. I think the movie should have been shorter. I don't think they looked at this movie as trying to be groundbreaking, which I think I agree with Rashani. They had an opportunity to do that, right? This could have been Get Out, right? It could have been like the comedy version of Get Out. They didn't have the actors. The actors weren't bad. The cast wasn't bad, but they didn't have like the Daniel Kaluuya. They didn't have the actors to pull that off. So I agree with that. I agree with both of y'all on that. I think they thought that they might be good enough to get a sequel. It looks like they made $12 million. I don't know if that's going to get them a sequel. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they doubled their costs, maybe, but, here's the thing, though. Even if they were doing a sequel, right, the whole premise of this movie is that they're Black, right? So they wouldn't do this type of stuff. So, like, you couldn't do a sequel with the same cast because it wouldn't make any sense for those people to put themselves in this type of position again. So it would have to be like a White Lotus type thing where it's like
the Black an anthology cast. Sort of thing. Yeah.
It's an anthology with a whole different group of people. If they did that and then listened to Rashani's critiques to like put more value in the script, maybe actually spend the money on a higher level actor to, like Rich said, to be like the person that ties everything together, then it could work. I think something like this could work as an anthology where it's just different groups of Black people in different scenarios in horror movies and how they would act with it. That could work.
When I think about a movie like this that came out of nowhere, you had to like pretty much see the preview in the movie theater. And then you start seeing the posters in the movie theater. When I think about a movie like this, a white version of it, and hear me out here, the remake of 21 Jump Street. No one really had high hopes for that movie. It was just a remake in the midst of all these other remakes, Baywatch and all that kind of shit.
Right.
And 21 Jump Street ended up being one of the funniest fucking movies that came out that year. Because they had comedic writers who had more than just a skeleton of an idea. If I have a skeleton of an idea, I'm going to talk to people to help me flesh out the skeleton. Everything needs meat on its bones. And when you're coming up, like, yeah, you have to make sure that you're doing everything you can to make the best movie you can make. And if I came into my class and I had one opportunity to turn in a paper to my teacher and I turn in an outline and she says, where's the rest of it? And I'm like, oh, it's going to be an oral report. I'm just going to fill in the rest of it. She's going to give me an F or she's going to give me a C depending on what I come up with the oral presentation aspect. But it wouldn't be as good if it's something that was sat down, thought about, written, rewritten, erased, proofread, thought about, given to somebody else to look over. I said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. Brandon said it. Nobody died in this movie other than Jay Farrow. The body count is fantastically low, which is bad for a horror movie. Sure, the Black folks don't die, but the horror side of this, no one dies. There's no blood, really. There's no real scares. There's no jump scares, really. We're talking about the comedy side. It's supposed to be a horror movie, too. Let's talk about both.
Yeah.
So if you're bringing me a horror movie, if I bring my wife to the movie, if I bring my daughter to the movie, for instance, Gogo loves horror movies. Like, she watched them from between her fingers, which I find fucking hilarious. But she loves them. She always has. If I brought her to this movie, she might laugh at a third of the jokes, maybe half of the jokes. She wouldn't be scared of the horror part at all. And she would probably talk shit about the film on the way out. And she's 20, about to turn 21. This is in her wheelhouse. But because she has a different ideal of what she wants to see in a horror movie than what they brought to the table in this movie, this is a half of a comedy and a quarter of a horror movie.
I think it was supposed to be more of a parody than a horror movie, though.
If it was supposed to be a parody, they would have had more humor in the actual horror aspects. They literally had the twin brothers and the family. And the only funny part about it was when they found out that that nigga paid them $2,000. And that dude was like, that's all it took?
That was wild.
No, but it was also funny when I saw some things that maybe you didn't think was as funny as I did. Like, I thought it was really clever and funny that the evil monster dude can't actually fight, right? So like when they were at the lake and they were like, oh, he's like, oh, this nigga can't fight. And he started piecing them up. Like, I thought that was fun. Like, I thought that was a parody on horror movies because you see Michael Myers and everybody stalking people, but you don't ever see if they can actually throw hands. They just dodge stuff and get
stabbed. That is true. I didn't notice that.
He can't fight. But here's Rich. I don't know if you saw this movie, but I think this is what Rashani would expect from this movie. And this is a movie that he got me to watch that I would have never watched before, but we reviewed it on hindsight. Now I totally forgot the name. What was that movie? Happy Death Date? Was that it?
Oh, Happy Death Day. Happy Death Date. That movie is fucking fantastic.
I did not have any idea what to expect from that. I definitely didn't think it was going to be good. And Rashani was like, let's review this. I think you're really going to like it. And it was funny, but it was also horror, and it was clever, right?
Yes.
And it was surprisingly good enough that they brought it back for another one.
And I wish they fleshed that out into a full-on universe, because that second one was different from the first one. Like, they just kept coming up with ideas.
Yep.
This movie didn't have any ideas. And they
even spiraled that second one into, like, a multiversal, like...
Exactly.
Like, they could go, if they wanted to do a third one, they could just go wherever they wanted, and it's just have fun with it.
This movie didn't have any ideas past we're going to sit here in front of this board game and answer questions that, again, are on Black Card Revoked.
Right.
Which is fine. I'm not saying that like it's a bad thing. Niggas will come to see that. You know what? I told like six of my friends, look, niggas, if you get really fucking high, like blitzed, Half-Baked is the funniest fucking movie in the whole goddamn world. But you have to be really fucking high. If you're not really fucking high, it's just a funny movie. It's still funny. But if you're a smoker, if you know what they're talking about, oh yeah, that movie hits different. I'm sure there's a way with this movie hits different. For Brandon, he was in the element that this movie was supposed to be.
Right.
He was in a theater full of black people talking to the screen, having a good time. I had like 9 or 10 people in a theater with me, all black. 2 of them were older. 3 of them were a guy and his wife and his sister, I think. They were all introducing each other. Like it was that church part where they say, now introduce yourself to your neighbors. They all introduced themselves to each other. And the black guy and his sister talked through the entire movie. And it got obnoxious at times, which is good. But there wasn't enough people in there to raise the what's it? Come on, Rich, help me. Convivial nature, the convivial feeling of this movie. It wasn't there. And I feel like...
Imagine Snakes on a Plane with 7 people in the theater.
Exactly. If you watch it in the right way, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters is one of the funniest fucking movies in the goddamn world.
Oh my God, yes.
We're talking about witches who know fucking karate. And Hansel and Gretel fucking have bazookas and shit to fight these witches.
What?
It is wild. It's wonderful. I have it on Vudu. You should check it out. It's wild ass shit. And it's Jeremy Renner in some wild ass shit. But you have to see it in the right, you have to see it in the right situation. You have to know what you're getting into. And I thought I was getting into something else with this movie.
But I think this movie had some, it was good because it brought that emotion, it brought those things out of the people in the theater together. Right. So for example, and Rich, I don't know if you saw this movie, but this is what me and Rashani reviewed this movie, and it was one of the movies both of us hated more than anything. We went and saw Superfly, the remake
of
Superfly.
The fuck?
And I saw the remake of Superfly in a movie full of black people, and no one was talking to the screen. No one was into it. And it was just a bad movie, right? And so I think everything everyone has said about this movie, I think is true. But I think this movie people don't just manufacture those emotions at a theater, right? It has to be a movie that brings it out of them. And I thought this movie, the way it was written and the way it was acted, and I think more than anything, I thought the timing was fantastic that they had, the comedic timing that they had, which brought it brought those out loud laughs and pointing and stuff to the theater that made it a communal experience. Because if you didn't have that timing, people wouldn't do it. They're not going to just do it because they black. Like, they did it because the movie brought it out of them, right? And so that's how I felt about that. I thought it did bring that out.
You know what's funny to me? I haven't even watched the short the thing that led to all this, I haven't even watched it yet. And I'm sure I'm going to watch it because I pulled up the YouTube page for it just now.
Yeah.
5 years ago, folks were saying they need to make a two-hour movie of this. I want a two-hour movie. Seriously, good writing. This needs to go further. And they're writing about their favorite jokes and everything. Who's here after the Blackening trailer and all that kind of stuff? And all lives matter. They're throwing up while they say that. And it's just good jokes. If you can get a litany of good jokes within like a 15 and 20 minute block, that is literal gold. And that's what they did. I'm going to keep going back to that board game scene. 15 to 20 minutes of just straight jokes. That's perfect. But you have to have something else. That's like, what was, God damn it. Oh, you got served. I had to sit through a good hour and 10 minutes, hour and 20 minutes before I got to a good dance scene at the end of that fucking 8 Mile. I had to sit through a good hour and 45 minutes of a movie before I got to a good freestyle scene. This is that. In the midst of these two other movies, there's The Blackening, where they actually talk about who's black enough and all that. And then they run away from that board game. I thought that this movie was supposed to be like a black version of Jumanji. To be honest with you. Where shit just kept happening because of the board game, but they couldn't escape the game. They escaped the game and it turned into a horror movie. I don't need that. There's another movie. And I am literally Gatlop. G-A-T-L-O-P-P. Gatlop. Hell of a game. That's what it's called. It came out in 2022. And it stars Emmy Raver Lampman, who was in Hamilton. And she's also in Blindsided or Blindspotting on Stars. She's a star in both of those. And it's about a board game. Her and a group of her old friends reunite for a nostalgic evening of fun and games. And they play this game. And I sat down and watched this movie and liked it so much I bought it, same as I will with, you know, The Blackening. But I will watch Gatlop again because it was completely about the board game. They didn't leave behind what the premise of the movie actually was. What was the premise of this movie? I thought it was a board game.
That's the only reason they're getting together?
Right?
Oh, that's right. It was Jim.
And why the fuck was the game actually talking?
Well, they got games like that's that.
I thought it was going to be Saw, where they're just stuck in this thing, and there's this sadistic person that just needs them to keep playing this game until it's over.
So does that mean that the dude with the weird voice and the weird face that nobody liked, does that mean he bought that board game?
I think he made it.
And does that mean that he was the voice for the board game and he's the one who set it all up where your friends are going to die and all that?
No, I think the white dude was the voice, like one of the twins, because he was in the movie. He was in the, because the voice was reacting to them. Right. So
yeah,
it was a live voice. So it couldn't have been him because he was in the room.
What I'm saying is, if you sit here and you think about this shit too much.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make sense. Because they brought too much to the table. Sorry, go ahead.
Rich, do you think there's any chance this gets a sequel?
I think it gets a sequel on a streaming service.
Mm-hmm. What's that one? Shudder?
Yep.
Honestly, this would have done better if it was like one of those viral streaming movies. They probably would have made more money. It probably would have gotten a lot more people would have watched this if this was on Netflix.
Oh, I'm sorry. She wasn't on Hamilton. She's on the Umbrella Academy. She plays Allison. I heard a rumor. That lady.
I heard a rumor.
She's the one who's on Gatlop. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, this definitely would have done better on streaming.
You could have had this next to, what was the show where the creator just died, unfortunately? I think they might have taken their own life.
Not Snowfall, that's for damn sure. I was thinking it was going to be Snowfall at first.
No, it was on Peacock. Oh, what was the peacock? Bust Down. That would have been a nice, like, if you like this, I could see that popping up.
Yeah.
Instead of taking this, I mean, honestly, Lorne Michaels made that too. So Lorne Michaels could have done this at his black staff from Saturday Night Live, have these folks popped in as well, and probably underwritten it with whatever they had with COVID losses from SNL from the last 2 years, and he'd have made out ahead.
Mm-hmm.
This definitely would have been better streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like I said, this is one of those ones that literally falls in the middle. Because no matter how you go about looking for it, you're going to be disappointed. If you go looking for a comedy, you're going to be disappointed when the second half of it is literally a horror movie. If you go looking for a horror movie, you're going to be disappointed because a horror movie isn't horror enough. It's just average.
Now, what'd you think, Brandon? Because I don't want this to last longer than the movie. That'd defeat the purpose.
Yeah, I thought it was bad, meaning good. I think that it could have been, I think part of this is expectation. I think they did a bad job marketing this movie because it didn't, like Rashani said, it didn't really tell you what they wanted you to think. They were doing that thing that they probably got from Jordan Peele, like with Us and Get Out, where you watch his trailers and you're like, you see something interesting, but you don't really know what the hell you're about to go watch. And it's in the intrigue. It's supposed to get you into the door, right? It's supposed to be like this intrigue, but like Jordan Peele has a track record of doing great. So like the intrigue of Nope, worked because Us was good. The intrigue of Us worked because Get Out was a hit. They didn't have anything before this. So I think people would go in looking for it to be something different, but ultimately I'll say I thought it was bad, meaning good, because I walked into the movie, and when I walked out, I enjoyed the movie. I had a good time, and everyone around me had a good time.
I'm going to say for me, it's bad, meaning good, if only because of the reaction. Like, I agree completely with Shani with, like, it was in the time they had what they had for the jokes, they got, like, when I used to watch Paul Mooney do stand-up in person, they got the audience that shouldn't have been there out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to give them credit for that. But I'm also going to say that this is something where, the more we talk about it, the more disappointed I am that this could have been the shot to bring this generation a scary movie franchise or something more. Get Out, but it's funny. I think about Talk to Me that's coming out with A24.
Mm-hmm.
This could have been something that would have been similar to that, where, you know, I like Rashani's idea. Now, we shouldn't put this podcast out because you might have a movie where the game keeps following them. Like, you're in a board meeting, all of a sudden you get a call, kind of like the you guys mentioned Happy Death Day when they did Truth or Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Where it just kept chasing you. The game never ended. And I think that would have been a really cool effect, because now you got folks all of a sudden wilding.
If I took my wife to see this movie, she'd think it was okay. She'd laugh. She would laugh a lot. If I took my brother to see this movie, he'd laugh a lot. He'd love it. That nigga's niggerly. If I took his girlfriend to see it, she probably wouldn't laugh as much. I don't fucking know. But because that's three people who I, well, respect and honor, who I know would enjoy this movie. And Brandon tells me all the time that I got to see movies the way everybody else sees movies sometimes. It was bad, meaning good. I mean, the comedy, what it was swinging for, it hit. They just jumped into too deep of a pool, I guess.
I agree.
And I mean,
be black and learn how to swim.
Don't
go in the deep end too soon.
Right, and not it's hard fucking work writing a horror film. which is why everybody doesn't fucking do it. They learn that the hard way. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah, it could have been better. It could have been better. I agree.
So that's what we think.
The last thing I'll say is the one thing I will agree with you and Rich on, to emphasize even more, they definitely didn't know what they wanted to do with this movie, because if you watch the previews for this movie, half the previews were actual horror movies, and then the other half were like silly comedies, like the Jennifer Lawrence comedy that's coming out, something else. It was literally like half comedy, half serious horror movies.
So and that nigga made a... Did he pour a whole thing of vodka into that Kool-Aid packet and then add sugar?
Yes.
Yep.
So half a bag. You want me to drink sugar vodka?
Yes.
He wants to set a Big Mama your arm, Big Mama your eyes.
Right.
I went to a party where someone didn't know how to actually make jungle juice, and so they thought, I can make jungle juice using Kool-Aid. And that's what they did. Exactly what you saw in that movie.
That was the most...
Yeesh.
Ugh. Y'all should see it. Let us know what you think.
Yes. Let us know. And let them know, guys. I'm going to start with you, Rashawn. Where they can find you, where they can find your work. And it's been a pleasure doing this with you tonight, bro.
At this juncture, if you type Rashani into Google, I pop up. I'm the first thing you'll find. I'm like the first 25 things you'll find. I've been doing this before SEO. So let's do it like this. You go to linktree.com or linktr.ee. Yeah. And I'm there. SSCast has all of my stuff. Like it's a huge tree with all of my shows and my catering too. I'm doing a show called, like I said, Blood, Meth, and Tears. I do that with Brandon and our homeboy Scar. We're currently talking about Breaking Bad. And when I tell you that the conversations that we have are, they deserve a lot more love. Shush. I don't think people see these shows the way that we see these shows sometimes. I don't. Having our perspective is just really mind-blowing to me sometimes and leaves me sitting back like, damn, how didn't we see that? Like, Brandon will come up with something, or Scar will come up with something, or, you know, I'll read notes and it'll be like, damn, how the fuck didn't we see that? And it changes the whole game. So if you enjoy watching Breaking Bad, you need to watch that or listen to that. Not to mention the fact that we also have we did one on the entirety of Oz. We did one on the entirety of Counterpart, the entirety of, Orphan Black. Just these great shows. And then we did one on Playmakers. And just check that out. It's RTO Podcast on Twitter. And then I also do Ratchet Book Club, in which I read hood classics and good classics. I ain't going to call out all the books I'm reading because niggas love lawsuits. But I read them. And if the book ain't good, you're going to know about it by like the fifth page. Right now I'm reading a book where it gets clowned on a lot. Yeah. Yeah. But thank y'all so much for listening to us. And thanks so much for listening to me. I really do appreciate it. Like, it means a lot.
Yeah, man, always. And how about you, Brandon? What you got, brother?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, half of that, what Rashani said. Yeah, I'm on the Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I love doing that. Most of these shows, they already seen before, and I haven't seen before. So it's one of those things where I've always been a movie guy, but, like, a lot of great TV I didn't get into until recently. So a lot of these shows I didn't watch when they were happening, even though I was going to the movies all the time. So that's a lot of fun. I also do a show with my homegirl Chanel, who's been on here. We did Succession. Rich was on the season finale of that. That was called We Was Privileged, but we have now changed the name to We Was Righteous. And we're going to be talking about Righteous Gemstones, which is another excellent, actually funny TV show. That's great. Yes. So go check that out. If you watch Righteous Gemstones, we're going to be doing episodes 1 through 3. That'll be our first episode coming out probably by the time you hear this.
And if you want to follow me, @Rich_Fan, FANN on Twitter. I work over at the Pro Wrestling Torch, where I do a lot of wrestling-related material, but I also occasionally do a show called The Deep Dive with Rich Fan and Will Cooling, where I'll do movies, wrestling, you name it, we got it. And on the other side of the fence, at Post Wrestling in Picturesque Canada, I'm currently hosting MCU Later, where we're reviewing Secret Invasion, starring Samuel Jackson and a lot of folks who aren't the folks you think they are. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us. And we will be the next crew next week. No, actually, who is the next month? Crap, I should have asked. I failed you, Jeff. Just know that it was failure in love. So until next time, be well.